Hello guys, I'm Edward. As Steve said, I'm an evangelist or a trainee evangelist as part of OAC, and he's pretty much told you guys everything about me. But yeah, and so part of my training is that I have to prepare and preach a sermon, and so I'll be doing it for you guys today. I'll be sharing what God's been teaching me on prayer, and so hopefully you find this encouraging. I haven't ever preached like this before, but thankfully God is preaching, not me, and He does this all the time, so I'm not too worried. Okay, I'm just gonna pray now. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving this opportunity for me to share your word to your people, Lord. I pray this encourages them, and I pray that you use me to help them understand more about prayer, so they come to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just see if this works. So I'm someone who struggles with prayer. A lot of people who know me tend to say I'm very chatty. You know, I'm quite an extroverted person. But for some reason with God, I'm not as chatty. It's something I struggle with, but thankfully God has been helping me with it recently, partly due to me having to write a sermon about it. But I will share with you what God has been teaching me. I don't know whether you have this problem, but it's not necessarily that I feel that I don't pray enough. Because what is enough? I feel like it's the way that I approach God in prayer that I find problematic. You know, I was listening to someone speak on prayer recently, and they said that if you haven't spent all night praying for every decision you make, then you're stronger than Jesus. But I don't remember the last time I've done that, do you? And I'm definitely not stronger than Jesus. So, how do we approach God in prayer? I've asked a few people from my local church and some close friends. I asked them, if you struggle with prayer, what might be a reason you're struggling? Now, it's a big question, and they gave me various answers. But all of them agreed that they struggled. It wasn't an if for them. They all knew that whatever they thought about prayer, it wasn't being lived out. And sometimes I think that a problem we may have is that we may not be active in looking to draw near to God. I remember about a year ago, maybe even more now, there were small mold spores in my room, in the corner of my room. It was barely noticeable. It was tucked behind my desk and a few other things. And so I didn't really pay much mind to it. Don't do that, by the way. You should get rid of it. But a few months ago, my neighbors upstairs, they moved out. And something must have happened when they moved out, because all of a sudden my ceiling was wet. And I don't really know like exactly what happened, but all the mold and plus that, it made everything horrible. And I had to move out of my room because obviously it's moldy and it's wet. And yeah, so this, it started off with some small mold, and it grew rapidly because of a new problem. And the room is fine now. The council sorted everything out, thankfully, and I've moved back in a couple of days ago. But the point is, I should have tackled the mold as soon as I saw it. All it needed was some spray that cost a couple quid, but now I've had to sleep in the living room for the past 3 months, give my mum a headache, and needed people to redo the whole room. And we may recognize we have a problem in our prayer life. And if we remain complacent in it, the problem grows and other areas of our life start to become problematic and may even lead us into sin. Now, a solution we may think we can put in place is pray more. You know, and so let's all pray without ceasing, like Paul says, and spend all day praying. Sermon finished. Well, there might be a different issue that is keeping us from praying. So let's look at what God has to say. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Prayer isn't about us, it's about God. We can see in the prayer that Jesus gave us, the main subject of it is for what God wants, for God's name to be hallowed, for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done. Jesus doesn't tell us to pray for anything and everything that we want, but what God wants and only what we need. You know, when I was studying these passages, out of interest, I looked up the meaning of the word kingdom. You know, and it came up, you know how usually you look up a word and it comes up with multiple definitions. And it came up with a country, state, or territory ruled by a king or queen. But I was quite surprised because on the second result, it said the spiritual reign or authority of God, God's kingdom. I was surprised to see it there. You know, I only typed in kingdom, but it came up as the second result. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, like the order of the definitions, it can be that way in my life. I may get caught up in pursuing what I want, building my kingdom, that I may put God and his kingdom second. Still up there, but not number one. The kingdom, legacy, or whatever name we might try and make for ourselves, cannot compare to God's kingdom. What we do for ourselves vanishes, but what we do for God lasts eternally. God's will for us is to be in relationship with him. We shouldn't seek him to grow our kingdom, but allow him to use us to grow his. Because prayer is ultimately about God and his will, and not ours. And he doesn't just want us to be his workers. He wants us to see him as our Father and spend time with him because he loves us. You know, the Bible says to go into your room and pray to your Father in secret. He wants us to be intimate with him. He already knows our thoughts and feelings, and he knows what we need before we ask him. He even knows us better than we know ourselves, yet he still wants to hear our voice. God provides so that we pray. God has provided us with everything that we have in our lives, everything, to grow a deeper connection with us. From our breakfast and coffee or tea this morning and the clothes we wear to the beautiful nature that we walk past every day. He has done this all for us. God provides for us as our Father to show that he cares about us so that we can go and pray to him knowing that he listens and cares. I remember hearing a story of a man who, him and his family, recently moved into a new place and he was very busy with work. But he had a daughter that he wanted to show that he loved her, but obviously he couldn't really explain to her that he was going somewhere for 8 hours a day. And so what he would do is every time he would come home is he would bring a gift for her to show that he loved her. And so every time he'd come home, his daughter would run to greet him and she'd be happy to see him. And because she knew that her father was there and that he loved her and that he brought something for her. But after some time, every time he would come, she would run to him, but she'd run past him to his bag to try and find her gift. The things God provides are so that we look to him and love him more. We shouldn't get carried away in them. When we live our lives, we should constantly remind ourselves that what we have is because of who God is. God gives us wonderful things, and he wants us to enjoy the gifts, but not forget the giver. And we should approach him this way when we pray that God gives us all these wonderful things so that he can be close to us, and so that we see him as our provider, the one who we can rely on. We need not anything nor anyone else. When we are close to God, not only do we find our true fulfillment, but we have everything we will ever need physically and spiritually. In Christ, we are set for this life and the life to come because of God. And most importantly, Not only does God provide us with the wonderful things that we enjoy now, but He has provided us with the best thing. God has provided Jesus so that we can pray, so that we can know Him. Without Jesus, all of us were, and maybe some who are listening are, estranged from God, separated from Him, disconnected, like there's a barrier between us and Him that we put in place, that no matter how long you pray for, no matter what you say, it won't break through. And that barrier is called sin, disobeying God's law, which we've all done. And the punishment for sin is spiritual death, hell, eternal separation. Oh, sorry, I meant to do that slide before. But thankfully, God, being rich in mercy, provided an opportunity for us to be reconciled, made right with Him. He did this by sending His Son, Jesus, who is in perfect relationship with Him, who suffered and died, taking the punishment for our sins, the death that we all deserve, being buried and rose again, so that we can live life anew in a restored relationship with God now and in heaven forever. So I hope all of you here are trusting in Jesus, and if you aren't, receiving the gift of life that He offers is free and you don't have to wait. We shouldn't take for granted what God has given us through Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but I only became a Christian a couple of years ago. My whole life, I lived separated from God, choosing evil instead of good, temporary sin over eternal glory. And He rescued me from going to hell. How now can I say, oh, I will talk to you later, God. I have other things to do. I have to put Him first. He saved my life. I owe Him everything. I can pray. He has gifted me with a mouth that works everywhere. I can pray and praise Him all day long, wherever I am. And I hope you feel the same way about Him. After all that God has done for you, all the suffering that He has taken for you, He did this all just so that He can have a relationship with you. So, how should we approach God when we pray? When we approach God, we should see prayer as a means to spend time with God and intimately grow in our love and our trust for Him. Not seeking to get what we want, but seeking what He wants, because He cares for us. We shouldn't see prayer as something to just ask things for God from, like a birthday wish list, forgetting about God's kingdom and focusing on ours, but rather as a way to grow closer to Him. The more we talk to someone, the more we can understand them, trust them, and love them. And the same thing goes for talking to God in prayer. God has provided the breath that we are all breathing in now, and the one I am using to speak to you with. We shouldn't take the time that God has provided for us for granted. Steve mentioned, I used to post short evangelistic gospel videos for my social media. And I remember for one of the videos, I said this, like to begin the video to kind of get people's attention. I said, if you can't spend a minute with God now, how do you expect to spend eternity with Him? Now, I'm not saying that, sorry, I kind of lost my place. But yeah, I'm not saying that you need to pray or spend a certain amount of time with God to be saved. Only Jesus can save you. But what I am saying is, so many of us can't wait to go to heaven, to be with God. But we can experience that now in prayer. We can experience God's presence now. And if we should use that same desire we have for going to heaven to go to God, because ultimately He is the reward that is waiting for us in heaven. And so we can go to Him now and enjoy His presence now. We don't have to wait until we die. He's blessed us with the opportunity to communicate to Him through His Son. So we shouldn't be let down in thinking that we don't pray right. You know, the Bible says that when we do not know what to say, that God's Spirit speaks for us. And as we looked at, that God already knows what we need before we ask. God doesn't expect us, or nor did He create us to be perfect. If He did, He wouldn't have sent Jesus. But He expects us to come to Him and be in His presence. When we fail, Jesus never did. He prays on our behalf when we get it wrong. And we are saved through Him and not how good our prayer life is. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us, praying for us, and we can join into that through prayer to be in God's presence. So yeah, I'm just going to finish off and pray now. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Jesus did, and that we can know you through him, Lord. Your word says that through Jesus is the way to get to the Father. So we pray, Lord, that we see you as our Father, and that we go to you because you love us. And we're not to be selfish, Lord, but think about you, Lord, and all that you've done for us already, Lord. And help us to just be in your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.